This conference is being recorded.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Did you guys hear that? That
we
we're
did.
Now being recorded?
Yep.
For posterity, better or worse. So, as those of you who participated in what we like to call these Monday afternoon little oases of positivity, I really welcome you all. And it is being recorded. You're all welcome to share stories, questions, and if you have something you prefer not to have recorded for others to hear, then just hang tight till the end of the call, and I will stop recording at 6 o'clock, and then you're welcome to ask me questions or share stories if that you know you'd prefer to keep private. So welcome. Is there anybody else who wanted to introduce themselves before I get started?
Hi, my name is Catherine Navarro.
Hi, Catherine. Welcome. How did you find us?
Mandy Pratt gave me a recommendation.
Oh, wonderful. 6 degrees of separation. It's always so much fun to see how people, what tributary people follow in their little boat to get to this river. Which is exactly how I met Patch Adams, and we'll get into that in a moment. But we always begin these calls by just taking a moment because we've come from different time zones and different work days and different activities. And to be able to land here and now in this moment, just take a minute to put your attention on the area around your heart. And just to start to activate a feeling of appreciation for someone or something in your life. And as Patch Adams said to us when he had us do this exercise on Friday, he said, "Is anyone appreciating chocolate or sex?" He said, "I'm just making sure that you're honest here. Be real about what you appreciate."
It's the feeling that counts.
That's right. It's the feeling that counts. So just connect with that appreciation and breathe that appreciation in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. And as you're doing that, I just invite you to notice, is it possible to be breathing appreciation anywhere outside of this moment right now? Is it possible to appreciate the future or the past? And if so, when you do that, how does that affect how you feel right now? Again, just focusing attention on the air around the heart and breathing appreciation in through the heart and out through the heart. I'm always amazed at how appreciation brings me right here, right now. It's a very presencing thing. Which is one of the reasons we like to start these calls with it, because it brings everybody here. You know, when half the time we're doing our accounting, but we're thinking we should be doing our laundry, and then we're we're finally getting to put our feet up at the end of the day watching TV, but we're really thinking we'd rather be having sex or something, you know. It's like never being able to really be right here, which is where the real feeling of appreciation exists. So even if you're appreciating something that you're looking forward to or something that happened yesterday, the actual feeling of appreciation is right here, right now. And it brings us into this state, which researchers from HeartMath have shown us creates this uniquely coherent rhythm in the heart that makes all of our sense perceptions more acute, allows us to perceive what's happening more accurately, respond more appropriately and with greater clarity, ends up benefiting our health and our performance, but just mostly feels a whole lot better because we actually get the juice of life right now. Like, try eating dinner tomorrow. It's not very fulfilling. The only time you can really take in nourishment in a meal is right now. Eat it now. And appreciation is a gateway straight into that. So we like to start these, what we call heart start calls to your week in that way. And I always feel a tremendous sense of appreciation for technology that we are able to traverse. Let's take a moment and just shoot out some names of cities of where you're calling in from.
San Francisco.
New York City.
Toronto.
York. Uh-huh. Los Angeles.
North.
Say the last one again.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. So we're covering at least three time zones in there that I heard, maybe four, two countries. And it's so easy to take this for granted. You know, 100 years ago, this call would have been absolutely impossible. And not only that, but we're recording it, so we could take a moment and who knows who's listening to us down the road, right, and in what continent and in what time zone.
What was the other country?
Canada. We have someone calling in from Toronto.
Oh.
I know. To some of us it seems like Canada is a 51st state, but we really are a sovereign nation. I'm from Canada as well. And so there's this remarkable unity that's happening on the planet right now, and it's changing human culture. It's changing human culture, and we could also just take a moment now to say, if you're not contributing or speaking, you might want to *6 your phone, because that will mute out any background noise, like extra telephone rings or things like that might distract other people from the call. Great. Thank you for doing that.
What do we have to do? Sorry.
*6. That's okay. You can also use a mute on your handset if you have one. And then you can just deactivate that with the same thing if you end up having a story you want to share, a question you want to ask. And so this business of being able to have telecommunications that are unifying our planet and closing the gap of time is really changing human culture in an extraordinary way, in that we can turn on CNN or go to CNN.com and see what's happening in multiple places in the world right now. Whereas if you go back to the Crusades, it took months at a time to get news of what was happening in those wars. Now we can find out what happened this morning in Afghanistan or Iraq. Just small examples of how life is getting quicker and closer. And that acceleration, is that acceleration stressful for anyone? I know you can't answer because you're muted. I see tons of people in my offices who are experiencing the effects of that stress, including physicians who are treating all kinds of disorders that are stress-related. We spoke in last week's call about blood clotting, for example, being directly related to high levels of the stress hormone cortisol, and how that's useful to pump cortisol into your system if you're running away from a tiger. Because if you get bit then and you still get away, the extra clotting that cortisol induces will stop the bleeding and you might still survive the incident and not bleed to death. However, if you're squirting cortisol into your system every time you watch the evening news, what's your body going to do with that? It doesn't burn it off when you run away. It's not useful because you're not getting bit, at least not literally. And so long term, that creates all kinds of patterns like heart disease, stroke. A lot of the modern diseases, the modern epidemics that are situations where the very things in our bodies that were in place to keep us alive are now killing us. So how does this relate to Patch Adams? Well, of course, he was a physician. And I don't know if all of you know of Patch Adams or have seen the movie. If you haven't, I highly recommend doing two things. One, renting the movie with Robin Williams, which is an exquisite story of Patch Adams' life. And then the other, donating an equal amount of money to Patch Adams' organization, which is called the Gesundheit Foundation. and the work that they're doing, because they don't get any benefits from the movie itself. And the work that they're doing is really quite phenomenal. They have served over 30,000 patients in the last couple of decades, and in 36 years of medical practice, Patch Adams has never received any money directly from a patient for his work. And his passion was to really bring the joy back into medicine, because medicine had become, as we were just talking about, a stressful war zone where they're in triage a lot of the time. And so he was quite serious, and I say that with a wink, about bringing the joy back into medicine, so much so that he donned a clown outfit to do his doctoring. And to this day, as some of you may have seen in the photograph, he still wears his clown outfit. He took his red nose off just so that he could pick it in the photo with me. He couldn't figure out how to pick his nose and have his red clown nose on at the same time. It was such a privilege and a pleasure to meet someone who in many ways is a living saint. And there are many, many stories that I could share about my meeting with Patch Adams. It came to me through a heart's desire, a spontaneous, I have, one of the things that I have that I recommend all of you do is another way of working with heart intelligence in your life is you could just take a moment right now and connect with who your mentors are. You don't have to know them. They could be dead for that matter. But people that have moved you, people that have inspired you by who they were or who they are. If you have a pen and paper, you could write them down or just bring them into your mind right now. Who are your mentors? Who are the people that most move, touch, and inspire you in the work that you do, in the life that you live? And what are their qualities? What are the qualities that they embody? Because it's really those qualities that are your true mentors. Those qualities, from a heart math perspective, we would call heart feelings or values. And it's likely that those qualities create coherence in the heart rhythm. And so one of the things that I've done, because one of my mentors is on this call, and those people in my life that embody the qualities that I aspire to embody myself, I have this big poster board in my office with pictures cut out of, there's probably about 25 people on that board, people like Helen Keller, Thomas Edison, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, Anne Frank. And Patch Adams is there on that board. And when I have a challenge in life, HeartMath teaches us that when you embody these heartfelt qualities, these heart feelings, these values, it generates this coherence in the heart that actually opens up centers in the brain that can think more clearly. And so when I have challenges, I go sit in front of this board with pictures of my mentors on there, and I connect with them in the heart. What does that mean? I really breathe in the values and the qualities that these human beings embodied. And in essence, I ask them, though I'm really asking myself, what would you do in this situation? And the inspiration they've left behind them leaves me inspiration in the now that I can act on. And so there Patch Adams is on the board in front of me, and I talk to him on a regular basis. And so what a wonderful opportunity that at the last minute on Thursday, a friend of mine was hosting Patch Adams in a continuing education course for drug rehabilitation counselors. And she invited me out to this gorgeous ranch in Malibu to spend the day with him. And the course that he was teaching during part of that day was called Living in Joy. And this is very synonymous with Fiera, which is the company that I'm running right now, a word that means joy, that means living in that vitality in the heart, that coherence of the heart when you're embodying those qualities that you admire in others and that you aspire to in yourself. And all the physiological benefits that brings and all the life benefits that that brings. And so here's Patch Adams. He's been paving the way to create joy-filled medicine for 30 years. And in getting to meet him, I actually, when I first talked with him, I said, well, you don't know this, but we have conversations every day. And he was very generous with his spirit, with all of us. And one of the things that he did, and I'm going to open up the call a little earlier rather than later this time, because some of you had specific questions, and there's so much that I could share about his body of work, his stories, things that he taught us that day. In essence, he began the day with us exactly as we began this call, in a state of appreciation. And he has no malpractice insurance. He said he refused ever to buy malpractice insurance. He said, malpractice insurance is a statement to all of your patients that you're afraid of them. He said, it's never our job as doctors to cure someone because it's not really our domain. Our domain is to give the best possible care that we can, and the results are out of our hands. And his caring, some of the qualities that he's embodied are, he's one of the most innovative physicians I've ever encountered, such that there was a woman on her deathbed, for example, who refused to eat. She was dying of cancer. And the doctors in the hospital were trying to get her to eat. And Patch Adams came in, and he just sat there talking with her in his clown outfit and squeezing his squeaky nose and blowing balloons. And they got to talking, and they created a rapport with each other in which she shared in this state of appreciation that her fondest memory was that her grandmother, when she was young, would let her squeeze noodles after they'd been cooked. She'd save some of the spaghetti before it was served for dinner so that she could squeeze it between her fingers. She loved that. And so what she wanted before she died was she fantasized about swimming in a swimming pool full of noodles. Well, Patch Adams set about to make that happen. And so there's actually, I can't remember whether this is in the movie or not, but he filled a tub with noodles or a pool with noodles, and they got in it together. And, of course, she started eating again, and I don't know what the outcome was in terms of her health, except that her quality of life while she was alive was so much better. And so living in joy as opposed to healing disease has really been the focus of Patch Adams. And one thing that I would like to share with you that deeply touched me in being with him, and then I'm going to open up the call for any stories that some of you might have or questions you have about my time with Patch. He had footage there. He was the first, his original vision and dream was to bring clowning into hospitals. And he was intuiting what the HeartMath research has shown all along, which is that by bringing joy to people, their healing improves. Their healing rate increases. It accelerates. And we know that now from HeartMath studies, that DHEA levels increase, which is a hormone that promotes healing. And so they began by clowning in these hospital settings. And then he was invited to clown in a war zone. And so in 2002, he and his clowns and team of doctor clowns, doctor slash clowns, went to Afghanistan. And he showed us 10 minutes of footage of their time clowning in Afghanistan, bringing the power of joy and the heart to Afghanistan. And I was deeply moved by this for several reasons. One, because some of you know that my time living in a Nicaraguan war zone and having severe post-traumatic stress from that is what drove me to find the power of the heart to reverse the damage that had done in my own system. So I knew firsthand when they stepped off the plane into Afghanistan what they were meeting in the devastation of the nervous systems and the bodies of those people. And at the same time, I have a personal connection to Afghanistan because Afghanistan was one of the first places that I tangibly experienced my heart's impact. Shortly after I learned one of the heart math tools called a heart lock-in, I also learned of the devastating situation of women being abused by the Taliban in Afghanistan. And my compassion was so complete for them, and my horror at what was happening to them and my sense of powerlessness to do anything about it was transformed in me through using these heart tools, so that every time I came into my house, I did a heart lock-in when I walked in the door with the intention of radiating benefit and care and help to the women in Afghanistan. I have to say that I never expected tangible results of that to appear. But a week after I started doing that, three Afghan teenagers showed up in my acupuncture office, believe it or not, wanting help with their zits. They were on their way back to Pakistan. They had been the first to smuggle footage of what was happening to women there with hidden cameras under their burqas out of the country, and they'd shown it at Sundance Film Festival, and now we're headed back to the east, the Middle East, and to their refugee camp. And so we developed this relationship in which I wrote letters to them about heart intelligence and joy, which they translated into three Afghan languages and distributed to women in Afghanistan, who then started writing me letters back saying, I was going to kill myself and my three daughters tomorrow, but we got your letter. You saved our lives. Now we know someone in the world knows what's happening to us and cares. And so I was so blown away that a simple act of care from my heart could create such a difference in the world. It was a large part of the situation in Afghanistan, was a huge part of my own inspiration for my life's work, and I had developed close relationships with many of the women who were living there. So when I saw this footage of Patch Adams and his clowns stepping off their Italian Air Force jet, which was quite a sight unto itself, if you can imagine this jet bringing, it's sort of a dark gray-green jet landing in a dark gray-green field with beige walls all around it that have graffiti and most of them are blown up. So it's a very stark picture. And all of a sudden, the portal to the jet opens and you see 15 clowns wearing every color imaginable under the sun with balloons coming out of their ears and spiral plastic hearts coming out of their eyeballs and big ballooned pants. It was quite a stark contrast, even just watching it as video footage. But then to see what happened to the children as they saw these clowns coming, children who, for example, were in classes learning how to avoid landmines. That was one of the first scenes, is the children there were in a class learning how to avoid landmines. And many of them were already amputees. And so there's this incredibly sober, somber mood. And the adults, everyone is a sallow complexion and face. And then these clowns come around the corner. Very simple. They're not experienced clowns. They're not trained clowns. What they are is care. They're just walking in care. Just like me, and that simple care that surprised me so much, the appreciation of what I had, and the natural desire to extend that out to another human being. To see even the adults light up like little children when a balloon comes out that they'd never seen, actually, a balloon before, and they started chasing the balloon down the street and playing with it, just like five-year-olds, the adults, children, all ages. It was extraordinary to watch the transformation of what this simple joy, this really simple pleasure, could do in such a stark environment. We're so surrounded by stimulation in our culture here, by so many bright colors and music, that it's easy for us to take these things for granted. But taking a moment to appreciate simple things like color or texture or the sound of music playing can actually, proven by heart math science, change our perceptions, change our way of thinking, give us more innovative solutions to whatever we're meeting, change the way we relate to others, change outcomes in our performance and in our health. This was really profound to see in the footage of Patch Adams walking into a pediatric hospital in Afghanistan. This is a pediatric hospital that had no food and no medication due to the economic embargo in Afghanistan. And so children there that were being treated without any pain medication. And there was a seven-year-old girl there. These stories are so moving. It seems paradoxical to share them in an evening of an oasis of positivity, and yet if you can think about how seeing how these other people in the world, A, are challenged in ways that we're not, so that we can appreciate right now that we're listening to this phone call and not bombs going off around us, and B, that the human spirit, even in those extreme challenges, still comes to life in the face of care from the heart. I was most moved by this in this pediatric hospital where Patch Adams walked into a room where a six, maybe seven-year-old girl had been caught in a bomb and the backside of her body was severely burned. And she was screaming in pain as they were trying to doctor the wound and had no pain medication to give her. And I don't know if anyone's ever had a burn, but third-degree burns can be some of the worst pain imaginable. And even more than that, I was watching her mother there feeling so powerless to do anything to help her daughter. And my heart just leapt out to these two people and the doctors as well. And she was howling in pain. And then one of the clowns, a clown from Bulgaria, Patch usually has, he said, about 11 different countries represented in the clowns that volunteer to go on these world tours with him. And this clown started playing her violin. And this little girl had never heard violin music. And she turned her head. The sound of the music was enough joy, enough rhythm penetrating the rhythm of her pain that it brought this, what we would call in a heart math terms, coherence, this order to her world for a moment amidst her chaos. And she turned away from her pain in absolute fascination with this violin. And you could just see the effect that a split second of joy had in the midst of terror. This is really our potential as individuals in our own lives, that at any moment we have the opportunity to shift our attention to the heart no matter what's going on. And for our own selves, access a moment, even just a moment of appreciation, that we have ears to hear music or to listen to this call. and the impact of that moment of appreciation. We don't even have to know the science behind it, but what a gift that there is science behind it that tells us this changes our health, this changes our outlook. It's not just Pollyanna, it's practical, good sense to do it. But then it's more than just for ourselves. This momentary shift to the heart of appreciation, to the heart of care, reaches out in its value to have impact on the world around us in ways that we may not even know. That a simple song on a violin could transform a trauma for a child, or a simple letter could transform a trauma for a family. Our power to make a difference comes directly from our care and our appreciation in the heart, whether it's a difference for our own health or whether it's a difference in our world. And Patch Adams, who has been an inspiration to me for many, many years, is someone that I see embodying these principles of heart math in his life and the power of the heart without needing to know the tools. It's part of the beauty of this work. This is everyone's birthright. And some of us, like me, are just a little more remedial than others, and I needed a step-by-step process to get to it. Patch Adams found it through passion and through compassion as well. He himself, like so many healer saints, started out life in a very terrible position, which can give those like me a lot of hope, because he was placed in a mental institution 3 times in his teens and tried to commit suicide multiple times because he couldn't stand living in a world where there was so much suffering and where there was violence. And on his last hospital stay, he had a turnaround. He had what I would say he found his heart intelligence, in which he said, all right, this isn't working to try to check out of this planet. So what I need to do is change things. And I may not be able to change what's going on out there, but I know that I can change what's going on in here. And so he committed to himself on his last hospital stay that he was never going to have another bad day in his life. And this is the premise of the class that he was teaching us, in which he showed us these video clips. He was never going to have another bad day in his life. And no matter what it took, he was going to be an emissary of joy. And so this was his invitation to us, that we commit to never having another bad day in our lives, and to greeting what comes our way by being the value we want to see in the world, which is exactly what he did for these little children in Afghanistan. Now, I could never have done that without step-by-step tools to make it happen. And so that was the other piece of attending this conference with Patch Adams and getting to spend time with him afterwards, is like so many geniuses, he's up there on the 13th floor doing what so many of us want. How can we commit to never having another bad day in our lives? Everybody wants that in the heart. But how do you do it? What's the how-to? Well, he's already on the 13th floor, and he's looking down going, just do it. But where's the elevator? Where's the escalator? Where's the stairs? And so for me in my own life and with the clients that I've seen and worked with, HeartMath provides that step-by-step system, that elevator you can get into and what button to push to get up to that place where you could honestly say to yourself, I don't have to ever have another bad day in my life. Because no matter what happens out there, I can command what's going on in here and be the value that I want to see in the world. And so we can take great mentors and great leaders like Patch Adams and then embody the benefit they're bringing to the world in a step-by-step practical system. So a lot of people that were at the conference found their way to me because they were like, well, how do we do this? How do we do this when someone in Santa Barbara was just a 15-year-old in Santa Barbara just murdered a 14-year-old? How do we do this in the face of all the trauma that's going on in our world right now? And the how-to, in my experience, has come from the power of the heart and the power of this appreciation that each one of you activated at the beginning of this call, which is the beginning, the keyhole that opens into a world of a taproot of intelligence and health and solutions to global problems. I have talked even more than I thought I was going to. I do want to open up the lines, but there's one more story I want to share about my experience with Patch yesterday, or on Friday, excuse me, which was another thing that he offered that touched me so deeply living in L.A. and that I think has affected me my whole life, in that Los Angeles is governed by so much vanity. And we're the entertainment capital, and so there's a tremendous fixated focus here on how you look, and are you thin enough, and do you look the right way? And one of the things that Pat shared with us in this Living from Joy workshop was the power of ugliness and how difficult it is to be ugly in the world. He had a troupe of clowns that he'd brought to Peru. And I was really appreciating this because I didn't realize how much my own heart was blocked from conversation with me due to my own fear of ugliness in myself. And this opened up a pathway in me to deepen in the value of what it is I'm bringing to myself and others. And there was a young girl there who in Peru, in this park in Peru where he and his clowns were working, who was profoundly deformed. And her face was down on her lap. She was in a wheelchair. And he noticed that and recognized the hallmark of it, of this shame of ugliness and the hiding that goes with that. And so he approached her with his clown mask and just went right up to her, got on the ground so that his head could peer at her through her knees, at her level. And later he found out that she suffered from cerebral palsy. And so that there's a certain invisibility that people in a wheelchair with these type of handicaps experience, where because they don't relate the way most of us relate, just like we can have that attitude towards plants or animals or the person that lives next door, if they don't see eye to eye with us, then we take it for granted in some odd way that they're not really even there. They become invisible to us. But because Patch communicates from the heart, from his appreciation and his care, he made contact with this girl who had cerebral palsy and showed us the footage of it. And it was absolutely remarkable to see that as he found her language through the care of his heart, they began to communicate in a way that Patch expressed her family said to him they'd never seen her communicate with anyone before. So that with his clown nose there between her knees, she began after a time to start to dance with his hands, with her hands, and squeeze his clown nose and actually start to laugh and sit up in her chair. I don't know if that touches anybody else hearing it. Maybe it loses something in the translation of telling it rather than seeing it. But it was such an awakening to me personally, parts of that I've judged as ugly or that I've judged as handicapped, that I've stopped relating to, and in cutting them off have made myself paralyzed in those places. And so in using HeartMath tools, we can gain access to places in ourselves that have become dormant, places that we've judged. And in doing that, our life becomes richer and we become of more value to the world around us. Those are just some of the tidbits to share from my time with Patch. I want to open up the lines now in case anyone has questions or any stories this has inspired that you would like to share.
Sheva.
Yes. And you'll have to hit *6, by the way, to be able to talk again if you did yourself.
If what?
Yeah, if you, I'm just saying for the rest of the callers, if they've muted themselves, they'll need to hit *6.
Ah. I had to go find a different phone and drive to the top of a hill. That phone back there was bad.
Well, that's dedication, Darshan.
Oh, just what you said. You know, I was crippled as a child. And there's absolute, you know, at times when there wasn't invisibility, you wished there was invisibility. But there was definitely a no-touch rule. You know, the familiarization was just always kept at arm's length.
Yeah.
And so how beautiful that you bring this to light, you know?
Well, and I can't take credit for that. That's Patch Adams' brilliance for sure. Because the heart has the ability to see the essence of things, whether it's a business decision that you're making or another human being.
Yeah.
The heart vision has the ability to penetrate straight into the essential nature of that thing and relate directly to what's actually happening. And when we're used to looking at things from their physical image or superficial view, we miss the essence, whether, again, it's a person who's in a wheelchair or a business decision or a choice about our own health. And so that power of the heart has the ability to penetrate these layers of conditioning that obstruct our view of what's really there. And that was so clearly what I saw in the way Patch was relating to this beautiful young woman.
Yeah.
And the isolation that that creates is not just for people in wheelchairs. Because if we're not relating to them, we're not relating to them.
Amen.
It isolates us as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think ugly love is the other 50%, you know?
Ugly love.
Ugly love, yeah. If it wasn't for ugly love, I'd have not much at all.
Well, and, you know, this is so important because intelligent love, the love from the heart, has the ability to, it has the maturity to relate to a whole picture of what's there. What's the divorce rate right now? It's like over 60% in California, I think. Right? Because the image of love or the image of the heart is creating so much stress for people because they think it's all going to be glamour or it's all going to be this, that, or the other, and then they get in and they realize it's real. And they have... they have their places of numbness and handicap and paralysis, and they fart. And so that ability to continue to see the essence of things is a key to maintaining relationships, whatever relationship you're in. The ugly love as well as the beautiful love. Thank you, Darshan. You always have so much to contribute on these calls.
As you, Shiva.
So maybe you could all just take a moment and review the list of your mentors and the qualities that they embody. I've shared some of the qualities that Patch embodies that I admire, his unconditional love, his ability to penetrate image and see the essence of things, his ability to reach in and care without expecting anything in return, his ability to be a stand for what he believes in and to give of himself unconditionally, his innovation and his creativity. He's wild, for sure. At times I thought, wow, it's a good thing he's on my poster board and not in my living room every day. I don't know if I can handle that. He's incredibly innovative, inspiring, creative, and wild. So you could take a moment to note what are the qualities of the people that inspire you, your mentors. And to, again, just bring yourself into appreciation for them. One of the things that was an incredible gift in meeting Patch was being able to give back to him a little bit of the inspiration that I received from him in my life. In that while he was speaking to all of us, he said, you know, isn't love the most important thing in the world? This is what he said. Isn't love the most important thing in the world? And if love is the most important thing in the world, how come we're not teaching it in our school system? How come children don't have an hour of love class every day, along with math and reading and all the rest? And so I was able to stand up during one of the question periods and say, well, actually, I have good news. And the Institute of Heart Math has been granted a $1 million grant from the federal government to teach love in the public school system. Which is the truth. The Institute of Heart Math has a wonderful program adjunct with a book. And Dana, we did have, I don't know if Dana's still with us.
Yeah, I'm still here.
So if you want to add anything to this, Dana. Dana works at the Institute of Heart Math. They have a book called Teaching Children to Love and a program in the public school system called Test Edge to help children access the power of the heart and heart feelings like love to handle their test-taking anxiety and perform better on tests. Because we know when anxiety comes up, the brain shuts down and children can't do well on tests. And so there actually is love class, quote-unquote, being taught now in public schools. Not everywhere, but we're increasing the number of schools where that's happening. And so I was able to share that with Patch, and that gave him great joy, needless to say. And we also spoke about the possibility of him bringing his team of clowns down to Nicaragua to work with the street children there. One of his passions is to end the child sex trade, which is a multi-multi-billion-dollar business here in North America. Children are being smuggled in from places like Nicaragua, places in South America and Asia for that purpose. And it's something that through Sunflower, Sunpower Kids, my nonprofit under the Sierra Foundation working in Nicaragua, we've been working to end for quite some time. And so Pat was very interested in bringing his clowns to Nicaragua, and we talked about what would be needed for that, which is just a mere $30,000. But I've seen so many miracles happen, both in Patch Adams' life and in the stories that have happened in Nicaragua, that it wouldn't at all surprise me if you guys will be receiving a newsletter with pictures of us trundling through the Nicaraguan markets. Patch's clowns and our kids. Dana, did
Shelly,
you want to?
Thank you very much. I'm just going to say goodbye, okay? It's Hinda.
Thank you for joining us, Hinda.
And I will hopefully meet you again next week.
Yes, I look forward to having you on the call next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, good night.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hi, I just wanted to make sure that I was still on.
Is that Jennifer?
Yeah.
Jennifer, did you have any questions or anything you want to add?
No, just loving listening.
You're loving listening. You sponsor a Sunflower Child. Is there anything you want to share about that experience?
Well, it feels good, but I haven't communicated with her since I'm so new, and I'm looking forward to April because I have a care package ready, and I'm waiting for my mom to translate the letter to her so that she can read it in Spanish.
And so from practicing heart math tools, how does it feel to just even make that connection with someone and extend your heart to them in that way?
I love it. It feels right, and I wish I'd been doing this sooner.
Isn't it a natural progression, though, right? Is it okay if I share a little bit of your story, Jennifer?
Sure.
You know, you came to me for your own health concerns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the natural progression of the gift of having that staircase of the heart math system to access that feeling of fear, that joy in the heart, to be able to live a life like Patch Adams, where you're contributing back and you can say that you're never going to have another bad day. But you can't just start there on the 13th floor, right?
Right.
Because when you start, for most people, for many people who are going to be listening to this call, when you start out, your life may not be at that height. You may be dealing with your own health challenges and your own war zone, whatever that looks like. And so there's a natural progression as you learn the tools of the heart that your own needs get met in that way. And once your own needs are met, it frees up enough of your attention, your energy, your vitality that you become available suddenly to be of benefit to others, whether it's what you've done now in adopting a Sunflower Child or the gift of your singing that you're bringing to so many people that you weren't before.
Yes, I agree with everything. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but you're right, that once September through November, which was my really hard time, had changed because I started coming to you regarding that particular issue, it did make my life a lot freer to give to others. 2007 is amazing. So I'm really excited to see what happens with the rest of it. But it has a lot to do with outreach and being with others rather than just focusing on myself. It's important to focus on myself, but I now feel like I have more to offer others.
You know, there's this great story, I don't know if I've shared this with any of you before, about this little boy who goes to a castle. And it's a magical castle, so there's all kinds of wild things in there, like a purple polka-dotted leopard that sings songs and all kinds of things that would just entrance anyone, especially a little boy. And at the entrance of the castle, there's a magician that gives him a spoon with an egg on the end of it. And his job as he goes through the castle is he has to make sure the egg stays on the spoon. And so he makes his way through the castle, meticulously taking every step, keeping a perfect eye on that egg and that spoon. And he gets back to the entrance, and he hands the magician the spoon, and the magician says, "Oh, this is wonderful. Look, you kept your egg." And he says, "Did you see the orangutan that was baking cookies? And did you see the giant tree that was made all from candy canes?" And the little boy shakes his head at everything the magician says. "No, I didn't see that. No, I didn't see that. No, I didn't see that." And the magician says, "Oh, well, you need to go back through and see all these things." And so he goes back through the castle, and this time he's not going to miss a thing. He looks at everything. He licks the candy cane tree, and he sings right along with the purple polka-dotted leopard. And he gets back to the magician, and the magician says, "Oh, where's your egg?" And so then he goes back to the castle the next time, and this time he finds the balance of keeping his egg on the spoon and enjoying the surroundings. And that's the delicate balance of the heart that knows how to take care of oneself and engage with life.
Right.
How to have self-care and how to care for the world. It can keep the egg on the spoon and I can enjoy the candy cane tree. And that's a balance that when people come, their stress is tilted in one way or the other. They're either martyring themselves, caring for everyone, and not taking care of themselves at all, or caring for their business, and yet their own body is falling apart, right?
Right.
Or they're so busy trying to get themselves in gear that they don't have any time, energy, or attention for what they were made for, their contribution, their purpose to the world. And so the heart intelligence and the heart math tools really help people find that balance.
Right.
So that now you know, Jennifer, that you could, you can extend yourself more into the community as you've been doing and not lose touch with your self-care.
Right. My health is great now.
Isn't that fun?
September through November was... It was rough on my health because I wasn't paying attention to me at all. And now that I'm focusing on me but also on others with the right tools,
yes.
I'm doing it well. I'm not forgetting about, you know, everything that I started to care about in September that caused the health problems. It's just now coming from a healthier place.
And that was Patch Adams' second workshop. What was that, Jennifer? Sorry.
I'm saying that every issue and everything that was an issue in September is still there, but it's I'm looking at it in a different way, and I'm coming at it from a healthier place.
Right. And how is that changing? Is that changing the outcomes in what you're dealing with as well?
Yes, it is. It's I'm still looking for more, but I'm being patient. I'm being patient.
That's awesome. Well, that was Patch Adams' second conference that he offered on Friday was for healthcare providers to prevent burnout. And basically the whole workshop was, well, I couldn't reduce it to this, but the essence that I carried away from the workshop was, how could you possibly burn out when you're operating on pure care and the joy of caring for others? Now, this is a man who has treated 30,000 people, right?
Right.
And not to mention all the clowning trips he's done in countries all over the world. And the people that he's treated have come and lived with him in his home.
Wow.
So he's with them 24/7. And so for him, burnout just doesn't even exist because he's so fueled by his care. Now, we have the heart math science to prove why that's good for you. And everybody's going to have their own balance of what's right for them there. Not everybody has to invite their patients, for example, or their clients to come and live with them. But... you know, we could at least get up to the 5th or 6th or 7th or even 10th floor.
Yeah.
And wave up at Patch on the 13th. Does anyone else have any other questions or any other stories they want to share before we close the call for tonight?
I have a question, Dana.
Hey, Dana.
Just, you know, in listening to how you're describing what he does and everything. I'm not quite sure how to word this, but, like, how does he manage to go into, like, certain situations that are so terrible, like war zones and places where people have been, you know, blown to bits or the sex trade? I mean, like, all this really just dark, very serious conditions where people may not immediately, you know, be responsive to something that could be seemingly perceived as so light as like a clown, you know?
Yeah, and sure.
How does he manage to not make it seem like trivial or where people will be offended by, you know, sort of that injection of something that may seem so irrelevant in some ways to what they may be experiencing? Does that make sense?
I think it's a fabulous question. It's a great question and one that really brings forth one of the qualities I love so much about Patch, It's a quality that I would define as inscrutability. And inscrutability means you don't give a hoot what other people think and you don't need them to respond. In other words, he's in no way attached to outcome. And he talked to us quite a bit about that, actually, because the clowns that he brings into those environments are usually not nearly as experienced as he is. Like, again, to use the analogy, he's up there on the 13th floor, and they're down there on the second floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's up there with no attachment to how people respond or react to what he's doing, which is not to say that he's careless about it. Remember, he's coming into those situations with deep compassion and care for the people in them.
Mm-hmm.
So in observing him in the videos in those extreme circumstances, for example, what I got to see was a person who was supremely sensitive to what the moment needed, because he was coming from so much compassion and care. So that his clown outfit was not taken as a trivial thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was taken as an injection of care and compassion.
Right. I mean, you talked about him connecting, like, at the essence level with people, and
yeah,
I bet that's a major part of it as well, but...
Well, right, that has, and this gets into, we spoke in another call about intuition. What is intuition really? Whether you're using intuition to make business decisions or whether you're using intuition to interact with a person or a client or a lover or, a child. Intuition is not knowing where the next parking spot is going to be or what bar you're going to find Mr. Right in. Intuition is this subtler layer of sensitivity that knows, do I squeeze my clown nose right now, or do I just get quiet with this child and send them care?
Mm-hmm.
Do they need me to engage with them right now, or do they need me to step back? When you get to that level of intuition of how do I best care in this situation, whether it's walking into a situation where children are learning how to avoid landmines, or whether it's walking into a classroom like where Jennifer teaches, the woman we were speaking with earlier, where they're learning the alphabet. Real intuition in everyday business situations is not about, it's not always about, do I sign this deal or do I don't? It's about how do I interact with the people that are a part of my business. So in my experience watching Patch, he has, through decades of experience and through a conscious choice to pursue that, a natural ease at intuiting how to interact with people. And again, that was absolutely not something that came naturally to me. I needed a system of tools to help me do it. Because I was, most of you on the call don't know me before I found HeartMath. Dana, you're probably the closest. Dana, who's on this call, was one of my HeartMath teachers. And I had no sense of that at all. And
well,
so
I can't tell that.
You can't tell that?
No, I can't tell that that's where you were coming from at all. I think you're great with people.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you had no sense of it either. You just needed to be maybe brought out a little more, but I think you have a natural, I think you have a natural sense of love and care. But that's just me.
That was learned. I'm happy to tell you all that that was learned. I'm really happy to tell you that, because it means there's tremendous hope for our world.
Yeah.
That if I can learn it, anyone can.
Yeah.
And that's really the power of the heart, whether you access it through heart math tools or putting a clown nose on your face or any of these other, you know, avenues, ins into that power. And so the next beginner level class starts on April 14th, if anyone's interested in that or knows someone that they want to pass this on to. If anyone else is remedial like I was, needs the step-by-step. No, it's not just that. It can be very useful to make what comes naturally conscious, because then you have access to it when you most need it and might not know how to get it. Are there any other questions or anything anyone else wants to add before we close the call for tonight? That was a great question, Dana. It was
sure,
definitely something that we covered that day. Yes.
I wanted to thank you again for your work. I just, you know, I learned too, but my path was a lot bloodier and a lot more years.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, this beautiful service that you provide with HeartMath is, you know, just so loving and such a serving that, you know, true, there's a profound movement sometimes where there's deep realization of this oneness. And for most, this just isn't the case. There needs to be this loving inclusion and this, you know, tending to and carrying along. And there's even the appropriateness that people pay their share and pay their way to, you know, cover the cost of being able to have these things available. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is why I'm so supportive of your work. Just thank you for being available. You truly are a teacher and a very compassionate and loving being. Thank you for using these tools and for sharing them.
Oh, thank you so much, Darshan. And I really appreciate what you said about, you know, you got there, but it was bloodier and longer. I think that's kind of the essence. You know, you can claw your way up to the 13th floor and fall down a few times and break a few bones, or you could just get in the elevator and push the button. And we're so lucky, you know, that these tools exist. Stairs, elevators, escalators, so that we don't have to claw our way anymore.
Yes.
That's a really eloquent way to put it.
Yes.
Well, I thank you all so much for joining this call. It's really a delight. Let's just take a moment for those of you who are still with us or those who are listening to the recording, just again to focus appreciation on mentors and the qualities that your mentors embody. And in that inspiration that your mentors, whether they're literally on a cardboard poster in your office or just in your mind, that inspiration that they've provided for you, realize that you could become that for others. And to just breathe into yourself the qualities that you see those mentors being, and let yourself extend those qualities to people in your life right now in this moment that you think could benefit from them, or that might benefit from anything else that we've shared on the call. And again, these calls are free, so this is a gift that you can certainly extend to anyone else that you think could benefit from it. And I thank you all so much for joining us tonight. I'm just going to pop off and stop recording, and then I'll be back if anyone has any questions that they have that you don't want on the recording.
Good night, Chuck.